information about the election of 2020. That's according to Charles Moskowitz, author of the new book, The Biden Coup, The Socio-Political Effects of an Illegitimate Regime. My friend Charles is a Boston veteran radio host. He's a podcaster. He's got a great show. He has authored numerous other books on this subject and others. According to the polling data, 60% of Republicans believe the 2020 election was a fraud. Rasmussen polling shows most Americans believe the 2020 election was marred by fraud, and yet the media still says you can't talk about that. You're a terrorist and a kook if you believe that. Well, most Americans believe that. So drawing from the February 4th, 2021 Time Magazine article, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election, Moskowitz makes the case that the election was stolen and that in the interest of uniting America, we have got to have a respectful national conversation on this incredibly significant topic. Chuck, thank you so much for joining us today. It is great to have you, my friend. Why'd you write the book? I mean, a lot of people have been commenting on this issue. A lot of people have been talking about it. What's new that you felt the need to bring out?
Well, I mean, I've been on the issue since the day of the election, really before the election, when President Trump warned us that there was an attempt afoot to steal the election. He was absolutely right. I've covered it every day since then, as have a lot of people. The evidence continues to develop. I'm convinced that ultimately the truth will come out. We have to have free elections in this country, or we are not going to have a country. This is the most important issue, bar any other, right now, to fix this problem and to make sure that we have one man, one vote, free elections, not these phony machines that my Senator Elizabeth Warren condemned rightfully in 2019. Now you don't hear a word out of her. But the machines basically are not counting the votes one at a time. They're averaging the votes. They're online in many cases. And now we have Otero County in New Mexico saying that they're refusing to certify an election because of the machines. There are movements in Arizona and Colorado as well. And I think we're now seeing some action in terms of getting rid of these machines. There are many other areas as well which are coming out. One of the big ones is Dinesh D'Souza's film, 2,000 Mules. And that is only the tip of the iceberg. There's more coming out around that. That shows data that indicates that people were stuffing the ballot box. It's a very old-fashioned way to steal an election, one that goes back to the 19th century. This isn't new. What is new is the coordinated, concertized agenda of doing this in very select districts and states with financing from people like Zuckerberg and that Hungarian billionaire, which we won't even mention, and others, and a very well-coordinated conspiracy to stop Trump. There's also the psychological side of this, which is that after 4 years of conditioning on the part of the mainstream media that, you know, orange man bad, that Trump is evil, you have people who are willing to go along with this and they don't care. You know, they're just, it's like a kind of, it's reached a point of conditioning. I think they're hoping to gin that up again with these phony hearings on the January 6th event. And I don't think it's working, but it's a very, very perilous situation when you have something that, if anybody watches this thing, it's completely slanted and you don't hear any of the other side. And yet still there are too many Americans who just get their news from the mainstream media. They listen to Lester Holt or whomever, and they don't know what's going on. They're all, you know, we call them normies, but that describes still too vast a swath of the population of this country. So I'm concerned that they may end up holding on in this midterm because of what they're capable of. But of course, as you mentioned, Alex, in your break, in your news break, there are developments that they're not reporting on, including the election of Myra Flores in the 6th District of Texas, which is the first time a Republican has won that district since the Civil War. So these are positive developments that I think are going to have an impact.
Yeah, I think so too, Chuck. But, you know, I'm really concerned with this January 6th hearing. And To me, it looks like, and tell me what you think, but to me, it looks like they are now trying to criminalize the opposition. It looks to me like they want to bring criminal charges against Trump. The narrative is that he was promoting what they call the big lie, that the election was stolen. And that led directly to what they're painting as like the worst attack on democracy since the Civil War, you know, the mostly peaceful January 6th protest. And I mean, they've been doing this out in the open. Homeland Security last year put out memos to every police department in the country saying that people who talk about election fraud are potential terrorists. People who don't believe the COVID narrative are potential terrorists. To me, it looks like a regime that is absolutely desperate to silence and shut down the opposition. Do you think there's a risk that they would go that far? Would they actually try to arrest Trump and other people who are trying to expose this?
Yes, they would. I mean, they would show up and have CNN filming on the front lawn, just like what they did to Roger Stone. But the premise that they're working on, that there was some, you know, that there's some kind of a plot to challenge the election, and this was an overthrow of the election, and the fact that they would claim that this was illegal is just flat out false. It is perfectly constitutional and legal to challenge state delegations on the January 6th following the election every 4 years. And this isn't the first time it's happened. I get into this in my book, where I draw on an article that was published in the New York Times 2 days before January 6th, saying, going the history of this, going back to Jefferson in the election of 1800, I mean, the election of John Quincy Adams in 1824, the election of Rutherford B. Hayes in 1870, how these elections went into the House of Representatives because they were contested on that date. And more recently, Bush versus Gore. And there was even a challenge with regard to George W. Bush and Kerry, and Trump versus Crooked Hillary. There was a challenge in 2017. Right. So what happened is not only routine and constitutional, and not only is there the founding fathers put this in place as a way to protect elections and to ensure that they're not stolen, but the fact that they coordinated it and planned it was entirely proper, given the fact that the media refused to cover over almost 1,000 affidavits that witnessed fraud, and that the federal and state court system refused to hear evidence of fraud. They just simply said outrageously, we don't want to get involved in politics, so we're not going to hear this evidence because we don't want to be involved in overturning an election, something that's unprecedented in American history, which shows that there was an informal, if not formal, coordination on the part of people in various aspects of both the public and private sector to simply stop Trump at any cost and to use useful idiots on the ground who hear this propaganda and this emotion ginned up day after day like Chinese torture against Trump and who are just marching along without knowing why.
Yeah. We're almost out of time, Chuck. We're down to about 3 minutes, but I want to ask for some, you know, hopeful, encouraging things. What can people out there be doing, you think, to ensure that we do have election integrity? I agree with you. This is one of those issues. It's do or die for our country. If we don't get this right, I mean, it's over. It's just the only way to put it. What can normal people do? And also, how do people get your book? What's the best way to get a copy?
Thank you, Alex. Well, to answer the first question, the best thing that we can do is to become a part of this movement that you're a part of, Alex, as a candidate for office, and that is to run for local office, get involved in your local election board, volunteer to man the voting booths, volunteer to work in the counting rooms so that these absentee ballots are examined by two people in both parties. This is an area where President Trump unfortunately dropped the ball. He should have been pushing this, but now it's happening. There's a grassroots movement all over the country. Thousands of people are getting involved, housewives, teenagers, retired people, anyone who cares about this country and has some time, get involved in your local school, county and district and precinct election boards. This is why Glenn Youngkin was able to win in Virginia. It was probably the most honest election Virginia's had since the Civil War because of this. Thousands of people volunteered to man the voting booths, to watch the vote counting rooms. That's what we're going to have to do. And if we do that, we will win an unprecedented victory, one that will change the course of this country for a generation, but we have to get involved in that way. As far as my book is concerned, it is the Biden coup, the socio-political effects of an illegitimate regime, available at Amazon.com.
Excellent. The Biden coup. Well, Chuck, thank you so much. And before we let you go, what's the best way to watch your show? Where does it broadcast?
CharlesMoskowitz.com. It's live.
CharlesMoskowitz.com. Excellent. Hey, Chuck, thank you so much. We appreciate having you on. We'll get you back hopefully very soon. Take care.
Thank you, Alex. Take care.
You too. All right, folks, that was Charles Moskowitz. Again, great radio host, author, and patriot extraordinaire. If you don't follow his work yet, you should. He really has just incredible insights into so many different issues. It's incredible. I want to thank you guys for tuning in.